Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Talking Marx podcast, which is back after a short break for the summer and the annual conference. And it was great to see so many people taking part in that conference, either physically in The Hague or virtually on the excellent online platform. In today's episode of Talking Marx, we're going to be talking about something that some of you may have seen or heard about during the annual conference, the new online project management tool to help the Marx teams collaborate. And to discuss this, I'm joined by the Marx first vice chair, Anthony Douglas of Specsavers, who helped devise the tool, and by the chairs of two Marx teams, Imogen Fowler of Hogan Lovells from the brands and marketing team, and Alexandra DiMaggio of Novagraph from the unfair competition team. Hello to all of you.
Hello, James. Hello to everyone. Happy to be here.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone. Glad to be here too.
Hi, James. Hi, everyone. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Anthony, perhaps we can start with you then. Can you tell us a little bit about the new tool for Marx team members? In particular, you know, why do you think it was needed and what does it do in a nutshell?
Sure. Thanks, James. So the tool is actually a project management tool. Having had a number of discussions when I was a member of the brands and marketing team, to me, there was sort of a real need for something to further collaborative work between the teams. So from my perspective, I saw the need for there to be greater transparency in terms of what the teams were doing, what the teams were working on, for team members to have a better overall view of what's happening within the Marx teams. And also what we could expect to see at forthcoming events. So what was topical? So a real sort of need for a collaborative tool. What is the tool? Well, effectively, as I say, it's a project management tool. It's a simple sort of visual reconciliation of team projects. So it's designed to help us keep track of current, historical and future projects, which teams are involved in those projects and what those projects are going to deliver for Marx members in terms of activity. Designed to be really easy to navigate, really simple to use, and really easy to consume. What does it do? Well, effectively, it records projects. So it's a repository. It's got a really easy interface. You log on as team members. You complete details about your projects, who's working on them from within the teams, what's envisaged in terms of output, briefly around timetable and delivery. And it's also got a notes function, which allows team members to update on their projects regularly. So what does it provide us with? Well, it provides us with a dashboard of activity. It allows us a real simple, clear overview of what's going on within the teams and allows us to effectively track what's going on within the teams in terms of activity. Over time, it'll allow us to cut down on team administration, I would hope. So replacing things like team minutes with regular updates within the team's meetings using the tool. And potentially even allows us to start planning for content. So running brief reports to see what's coming and what's topical to allow the teams to better collaborate and to target the activity of Marx towards activities that are really of interest to brand owners.
That's really interesting. Thanks. Yeah. And how long has it been in development? And is this, I mean, you sort of alluded to this, I think. Are there going to be further changes or developments to it in the future?
Yeah. So it's been under development for sort of probably 5 or 6 months. And a big shout out to Robert, who works within the Marx community. Robert's developed this tool from the ground up. So we went to market and we were looking for something by way of project collaboration or project management tooling. And there's quite a lot around and there's quite a lot available, you know, whether that's sort of socially based or whether it's sort of more like this, which is files and work throughput based. You know, there are a number of these tools available, but there was really nothing that was really simple, really visual, very, very easy to use. So Robert and I sort of took the decision that we do something internal and make the thing ourselves. So that's sort of led us to need a number of months to develop. But what I would say is now that the tool is launched, it's very much, and you know, I've spoken about this before, but the tool is very much a version one. So because we have designed the tool in-house, it is something that we can change and we've got plans to change. So the more input we get, And the more feedback we get from members and teams that are using the tool, the better the tool will become, because we can iterate it as we go forward. So yeah, a shout out from me for Robert, but also a plea in terms of please do use the tool, but more importantly, please do feedback, because it will become better and better the more we use it.
So Imogen, as I said, you're with the brands and marketing team. Can you tell us about some of your team's recent and current projects? And also, especially, what is the potential for collaboration, do you think, between the Marks teams?
Well, I think over recent years, we've really got much better at collaboration, although I recognise that we still have a way to go. In terms of some of our recent projects, we had some of our team involved in the influencer marketing webinar, which was broadcast the week after the Hague conference. And we've got a number of ongoing projects, which hopefully we will be launching at upcoming meetings, either in person or virtually. One of those is to do with the use of third-party brands in your own advertising. And that one, we actually are already collaborating with the copyright team. Another project that we think is a great topic and constantly top of the press is around what we call negative goes positive. So it's about brand enforcement in modern times. In that one, we are also looking to work with the dispute resolution team. So yes, a number of our projects already involve collaborating with other teams, but we'd certainly like to continue to do that going forward on a more sort of organised basis. And one of the things that we are hoping to do shortly, following something that came up at the leaders meeting before the Hague conference, is to work with the regulatory team on regulatory mandatory rules for food contact products, and also around some of the issues which are really hot right now on sort of vegan, vegetarian packaging requirements and branding issues surrounding things like sausages and when you can call them sausages and when you can't. So quite a few projects on the go and lots more to come.
So it sounds like actually there's quite a lot of potential for collaboration, you know, between your team and other teams. So maybe it's worth just spelling out what is your sort of remit in the brands and marketing team?
Yes, sure. It's a very, very wide remit. So the idea behind the team is to address issues and provide really useful information about things arising in the area of advertising and marketing. So those are obviously incredibly broad areas. So we cover everything from advertising, brand extension, comparative advertising, grey advertising, trade dress, sponsoring, ambush marketing, co-branding, negative PR pursuit, and so on. So we really have a very, very broad ambit.
Yeah, lots of really interesting topics. And I mean, as you said, you've been sort of collaborating informally with some of the other teams, many of the other teams. I mean, how do you think you'll use the new tool and how will it help you to collaborate?
I think it will really just help us keep on track, because we're all busy people. And, you know, unless you have something in a recorded common place where you can all go in and access it, it's very, very easy for things to slide or for things to just sort of get overlooked or misunderstood as to who's doing what. So this will really help, you know, nail down our timelines and make sure that we know exactly who's doing what and in which team, to make sure that really everyone is involved, that there's no one taking a back seat, that everybody has something that they're working on.
Thanks very much. So Alexandra, perhaps we could bring you in at this point. As I said, you're chair of the unfair competition team. So could you tell us a bit about any projects that you have, and also, you know, how useful you think it is to be able to talk to other teams about what you're doing?
Yes, sure. So actually, we have quite a lot of projects, and we will be happy to collaborate with other team because we did not collaborate that much last time. So we have the lookalike chart. We have recently published an update, and this could be also an example of a collaboration between the team, because the idea is to provide an overview of the situation as regards the lookalike products in so many jurisdictions as possible. And if we don't have someone from one country in the team, then we could ask someone from another team. The same could be done also for the trade name country report. We are about to ask the China team for helping us for delivering the country report for China as regards protection and defense of trade name. And other project we have is about parasitism. So then we will be happy to have an overview of the rules applying in different jurisdictions and collaborate in this respect with other team. And last but not least, we have also a sub-team working on influencers. And we will be pleased to collaborate with your team, Imogen, and also with the copyright team, since we have been really interested by the workshop doing Den Haag annual conferences. And we have seen that you need also speakers from France or for other countries for having a broader view on the topic. So I think we will have many topics for collaboration with other team. Because we have topic on the core topic on unfair competition, but also a little bit around unfair competition.
Very interesting. And I know your team is very active, isn't it? And there's obviously potential, as you said, for collaboration. I think, as Anthony said, one of the benefits of the tool is you can kind of see what projects other teams are working on. So is that something that you'll find useful, do you think, to be able to identify where there might be opportunities?
Yes, absolutely. I think it would be a great tool because it will be easier to see what the other team are doing. It will be easier than the minutes, because today we have the minutes and the leaders meeting, but sometimes it's more difficult to have a look at the minute than it would be. The platform is really easy to use and really clear. So I think it could be also a good way to collaborate and to identify some topics. For example, I have been in touch with Piotr from the regulatory team as regards ambush marketing. And then I could have a look at the platform and see if they have set any deadline and who is especially involved in the other team in this topic, so that we can easier find the contact in other teams for collaborating. So I think it could be really helpful.
Yes, and it feels like a real 21st century tool, doesn't it? So as you said, moving away from taking minutes and into real time kind of working together.
Definitely.
So Anthony, as I mentioned earlier, you're the Marks first vice chair at the moment. So how do you see the role of the teams, and you know, what do you think they deliver for Marks members?
Well, thanks, James. And I think the role of the teams, it's imperative for Marks. So, you know, I myself was a team member for a number of years, and I think the value that the teams bring to Marks is fundamental, you know, to how Marks operates and what it offers. The role of the teams to get engaged in what's important for Marks and their members, you know, to bring relevant issues to the fore, bring content forward for Marks members. And it's a real good opportunity to collaborate as a group in relation to those relevant issues of importance. So, you know, we're given the great opportunity to combine the best of sort of class leading knowledge from industry experts, but also those in relation to brand owners that sit as part of the teams as well. So it's a real good blend of skill set and experience. And first and foremost, it actually helps us to bring the Marks vision and values to life through relevant content.
And obviously, I know it's been difficult for people to meet, well, impossible actually for people to meet much over the past year or 18 months. Yeah, have you been impressed at how the teams have managed to carry on working remotely and cooperate and achieve things remotely?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's been a challenge for everybody working in this new remote digital culture. But I think what we've also learned is how to get the best out of it. I think the annual conference was a great example of that recently, The Hague. I wasn't able to attend myself in person. I attended virtually, and it was one of the most impressive things that I've seen for some time online. I think, you know, many of our members would share that view. So, you know, it's about harnessing what we've learned and actually taking the best of it. I think, you know, the online environment gives a great opportunity for teams to collaborate and get together more. Face-to-face is great, and there is no replacement for that. But in between those face-to-face meetings, it gives us that great opportunity to see more of one another and to have those more ad hoc meetings more regularly to keep on top of activity and also to just, you know, see a bit more of each other, which is no bad thing.
Absolutely, yes. And I think we're all looking forward to being able to do that more regularly, aren't we, hopefully, as time goes on. And is there any particular message, Anthony, that you have for the team chairs and the team members at this time?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, as vice chair, thank you. But also thank you as a Marks member, you know, for giving your valuable time to bring great content to Marks members. And as a team member historically, you know, I've certainly found that you get as much out in terms of team engagement as you put in. So, you know, please do continue to bring those new and fresh ideas into the association. And lastly, you know, please do look for those opportunities to collaborate with each other, and please do use the project management tool to do so.
Thanks, Anthony. So, Imogen, what do you think different members bring to the teams? I think you have team members, don't you, from different locations and in slightly different roles as well. How does that work in the team, and what do they bring?
Yes, absolutely. I think they all bring something different, and I think it's all very helpful. So firstly, in terms of roles, I would say we really have three different categories of team members. We have people who are in-house. We have quite a lot of in-house members in our team. And obviously, they have the pragmatic sort of on the ground facing the issues with the businesses kind of experience, which is really valuable for those of us who aren't in those roles. We have private practice lawyers like myself, and you know, I think we are conversely great at sort of giving the in-house members the heads up on the hottest legal trends or the new legislation or the new legal things that perhaps the in-house people might not have seen. And then thirdly, and last but not least, we have service providers. So we have people, for example, in the domain name business. So people who really bring a completely different perspective from the pure trademark or design perspective. So I think that between those three different types of team members, it really helps us to issue spot and to then bring different views on what we should be doing, what we should be focusing on, and how we should be presenting it. In terms of locations, we have a lot of team members from different member states in the EU and also obviously in the UK. But we also have people from the US, from Turkey, from Peru, from Canada. So really wonderfully geographically diverse team.
And does that influence the kind of projects that you take on? And you know, do people from different regions have sort of different ideas and different priorities about what they want to look into?
Yes, definitely. And I think that, you know, that can be really helpful because sometimes you get blinkered as to sort of what's going on in your own jurisdiction. So I think oftentimes something will come up. You know, years ago you had plain packaging arising in Australia, and now, of course, it's spread worldwide. So it's often very helpful to have the perspective of people who are really at the forefront of a particular issue in a particular country.
Great, thank you very much. And Alexandra, you have quite a big team, I think, in the unfair competition team. So can you tell us a bit more about the membership of that and how you organise such a big team?
Yes, of course. Like Imogen says, we have a different type of team members, but contrary to a team, we don't have any provider. We have a combination between attorneys or trademark lawyer and corporate members, so in-house lawyer. And the majority of the team is made with attorneys. And we have decided to have the corporate members as advisor for every project we have so that they can give us their input, their opinion as regard the template and the report we elaborate. And we are also organized in sub-team because, like you said, James, we are quite a big team, almost 30 people. So for different topic, we have sub-teams with someone responsible for the sub-team. So it's really helpful for identifying the project and setting deadlines to the people and keeping on track and organize also a call with the sub-team to see how they are delivering the work. And we tried also to have so many people as possible from different regions. We have a lot from Europe, and we are happy to have now more people from the USA and also from the Latin America.
So that's very interesting, Alexandra. And you said you have kind of distinct roles in the team for corporate members and private practice members as well. So does that work well for the team?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good way to involve the corporate member without asking a lot to them. And it's complying also with one of the MARC's goal, which is to provide corporate member with reports and advice quite easy to find and easy to read.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we know, you know, from the feedback that Mark's corporate members really appreciate a lot of the work of the teams and the resources that are available from the teams on the website and at the annual conference and other events and so on. So just maybe following up on that, Anthony, perhaps you could tell us a bit more about the corporate members' perspective and maybe in particular the corporate focus group, which I think is something that's really developed within Mark's over the past couple of years.
It has. I've seen the corporate focus group really come to life actually over the course of the last couple of years. And, you know, a real thanks goes out to Britta and Claudia for continuing to bring the agenda in relation to that group, because, you know, that group brings together corporate members for the purposes of largely sort of identifying and discussing matters of real material interest that vex many in-house lawyers and attorneys. It's a great forum for discussion and talking about the challenges that we face as members. And also it's a great opportunity for networking. You know, there are now regular events which take place on or around the annual conference. It's additional value for corporates and those corporate members. It's certainly not an alternative to any of the activities or any of the team engagement that we've spoken about, but it's really that extra layer, if you like, of opportunity for a corporate member to just have those great discussions with other corporate members in a familiar setting. It's a great vehicle actually, and a great opportunity for us to use that group to develop more content and ideas for the team. So we spoke about the function of the teams earlier on, but you know, the corporate focus group is a great opportunity for us to look for that idea generation, look for, you know, collaboration through those great discussions. And that really should be focused in terms of feeding into the teams and throwing down those challenges in terms of the content that corporate members really need to see.
That's interesting. Yeah. So ideas coming out of the corporate focus group and where there's a real need among corporates could be fed through to the teams for specific projects.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the group both looks at sort of horizon scans issues and looks at those sort of common problems that we're all facing as in-house lawyers. And that's a really interesting forum for us to be able to do that. But it's also an opportunity for that group and that group of individuals to identify, you know, relevant areas that the teams could look to provide relevant content for. And ultimately, you know, that's where Marks really stands up in terms of differentiating itself against other associations. So, you know, we can harness that as an opportunity. And I guess my ask, well, you know, for corporate members that are listening to this, please do engage with the activity. But also please do, you know, really use the opportunity to join and take part in team activity, because a combination of those two things, you know, that's the added value that you get from this association over and above others.
And I think as people probably know, there are, I think, 18 teams and two task forces at the moment. So there's plenty of opportunity, you know, to get involved in things that Marks is working on and potential projects in the future, and covering a wide range of different issues, aren't there?
Absolutely. I guess, you know, from my perspective, please do get involved. That's the plea from our side, because, as I said before, you know, you get as much out of this association as you put in. So the more we all sort of push in that direction, the better Marks will be for 2022 and onwards.
Well, thank you very much, Anthony. And for those that aren't familiar, all the team details, including all the listings of the team members, are, of course, on the Marks website, where everyone can look at them. And if you're logged in as a member, you can also access all the team resources, publications, and so on. So so do have a look at that if you haven't done already. That wraps up today's episode of the Talking Marks podcast. Thank you very much to Imogen and Alexandra and Anthony for joining us today.
Thank you, James.
Thanks very much, James.
Thank you, James.
We look forward to the next episode of the Talking Marks podcast and very much hope that you can join us again then.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.